Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
Good infrastructure and good roads are an essential part of economic development and of safety and of a great community.
Governor Beshear is in Sandy Hook today to break ground for the reconstruction of Kentucky 7.
A police helicopter crashes in Breathitt County.
And Kentucky's education commissioner warns school funding trouble is brewing in the Commonwealth.
In sports, the Reds continue their West Coast swing with a stop in San Diego tonight.
But Luke has the business news.
Partly cloudy tonight with fog developing after midnight. Lows around 58. The complete forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Kentucky State Police say a helicopter conducting an ongoing investigation crashed this morning near the Breathitt-McGoffin County line. Trooper Sean Little says the pilot and a trooper on board the helicopter were airlifted for their injuries from the Evanston community in Breathitt County. He says the crash happened shortly before 11 a.m. Little says the aircraft was working with the KSP's marijuana suppression team.
WSAZ is reporting that the Ohio Fire Marshal has been called to investigate a blaze today at a home along County Road 204 in Lawrence County. The station quotes Windsor Fire Chief Don Christian as saying the structure was fully engulfed when the firefighters arrived. He says the blaze apparently began in a rear doorway of the house and is suspicious in nature. No one was home at the time of the fire.
Lexington police have charged 18-year-old Eric Lamont Trigg with reckless homicide following the shooting death of his half-brother Sunday night. Officers say the shooting took place inside a house and killed the 17-year-old victim. WKYT reports that the man was taken to a local hospital but died from his injuries. Police say there were multiple people inside the home at the time of the shooting, and they are interviewing witnesses to try to figure out what happened. An investigation is underway.
A body believed to be that of a missing Winchester woman was discovered near a Montgomery County farm over the weekend. Though further tests are pending, Montgomery County Sheriff Frank Shortridge says he has several reasons to believe the body is that of 25-year-old Kyla Klein. He spoke with WKYT.
We do know that she was here. We do know that communication stopped between her friend's family on the 3rd. I believe that when she got here on July 3rd, and we know that to be a fact, I don't think she ever left.
Shortridge adds he believes Klein was visiting 39-year-old Lonnie Martin of Stanton, who has been arrested and charged with murder in the case. He is currently lodged in the Montgomery County Detention Center.
Governor Beshear was in Sandy Hook today to help break ground for a $26.5 million road reconstruction project. It involves the rebuilding of 5 miles of Kentucky 7 from just north of State Route 706 to the Carter County line. The governor says it's the fourth and last phase of more than $60 million in road work that's taken place in Elliott County over the past 2 decades.
This Kentucky 7 project, it's been going on a while now, about 16 years, and with this final phase, it's going to be completed, and it's going to be great.
State Representative Rocky Atkins helped secure funding for the reconstruction of State Route 7.
Two main purposes of this road, to be very honest with you, is to take an unsafe road, really, and turn it into a safe road for the traveling public. And, of course, the other reason and the other importance is to improve access into remote rural areas.
Atkins says the road improvements should also bring more jobs and development to the Sandy Hook area.
The Obama administration's push to increase fuel efficiency standards for cars and light-duty trucks to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025 will not come at the expense of AK Steel. That's the view of company president James Wainscott. He admits car manufacturers are increasingly experimenting with aluminum to reduce the weight of their vehicles and improve mileage. However, he says much of that focus has been on engine blocks and other assorted parts. Wainscott thinks the cars and trucks of the future are still going to need a lot of steel.
We continue to believe at AK Steel that steel is indeed the material of choice, particularly for automobiles, and we're part of the solution rather than part of the problem when it comes to lightweighting of vehicles. As we all know, trying to get the 54.5 MPG is a long way from where we're currently at.
Wainscott says his company is now making advanced high-strain steels that should give the industry lighter vehicles. However, he says AK doesn't want to get too far out front in developing new products. His firm, he says, will listen carefully to customers and find out their needs before investing in new product lines. AK has a production mill in Ashland.
Franklin County's fiscal court has approved a resolution formally opposing a natural gas liquids pipeline that could cross the Commonwealth. If it's built, the proposed Bluegrass pipeline would carry the byproducts of natural gas drilling to processing plants on the Gulf of Mexico. Franklin County's resolution cites concerns about the potential environmental effects of the project and lays out the magistrate's opposition to the use of eminent domain. County Judge Executive Ted Collins says he's not sure what the next step is. Some are calling for Governor Beshear to address pipeline regulations in next month's special legislative session. Collins says he expects there will be a response on several fronts.
We're in the early stage of this. There'll be some concerns from local government. There'll be some concerns from state government. There'll be some concerns from the federal government. When you go crossing these waterways, the Army Corps of Engineers does not take that lightly.
A spokesman for the company building the pipeline is expressing disappointment that the court acted so early in the process. He says the company is committed to building a safe and reliable pipeline.
Kentucky Education Commissioner Terry Holliday says local school districts have done more with less as long as they can and now need additional resources. Holliday told state lawmakers last week Kentucky has made some important strides in recent years, improving college and career readiness and boosting graduation rates. However, he says that progress cannot continue without more financial support.
As you guys begin to deliberate for the next biennium, I want you to talk to your local superintendents, teachers, principals. They will tell you that we're making great progress, but the quality, morale, is beginning to suffer.
Holliday says local school boards have been struggling with budget cuts since 2008.
State Representative John Will Stacy says the legislature gave local school districts some flexibility to deal with limited resources when it allowed them to use capital funds for operations. However, the West Liberty Democrat acknowledges many are now out of options.
If you've kept up with what these school districts are doing with their funds the last few years, they've been spending it like crazy just to keep everything at the same level. And now it's gone. And now I think in the next 2 or 3 years, I think we're going to see a crisis in our local school districts. I think it's coming, and it's just a matter of who's going to do something about it.
Stacy says local school boards that move money out of capital accounts to cover operational expenses now finds they lack funds for either.
Governor Beshear has appointed a Pikeville physician to the Morehead State University Board of Regents. Dr. Kevin Pugh is an orthopedic surgeon with the Pikeville Medical Center. He succeeds Jim Booth, whose term has expired. The 37-year-old Pugh will serve a 6-year term that ends June 30th, 2019.
Kentucky State University is going tobacco-free across campus. The new policy takes effect on Thursday and prohibits tobacco use in all university buildings, at events, and inside vehicles parked at the campus. The State Journal reported that the Board of Regents adopted the policy during a meeting on Friday. The university will not provide outdoor ashtrays or smoking shelters, but materials on quitting the habit will be available through the school's human resources office. University police and security will enforce the tobacco-free policy.
Kentucky's Parks Commissioner says $125,000 has been earmarked for the repair of the Pioneer Museum at Blue Licks Battlefield State Resort Park. Blue Licks manager Michael Schwindow says the museum has been closed since the spring of 2012 because of damage from a water leak.
We went ahead and approached Finance Cabinet to have their public health person come in, and they arranged for some air samples about the air quality in the lower gallery, and that's when we discovered a molding issue. It's a non-toxic type, but it does cause irritation to breathing ways, and as a matter of public safety, we went ahead and closed the museum.
Schwindow says the repairs will help preserve the museum's archives. Work is expected to begin next January.
A tax amnesty program offered by the Kentucky Department of Revenue last fall was a success. That's what the department's enforcement director told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort last week. Mac Gillum says the program was offered during October and November, and delinquent taxpayers were encouraged to contact the Department of Revenue to set up payment schedules. He says the initiative generated more than $100 million.
The gross revenues were almost $111 million. We've added some additional interest and fees to the tune of $1.6 million, which were part of the amnesty bill. A little good news for the local governments is we were able to distribute out of the total gross receipts from amnesty about $11.7 million back to locals.
Gillum testified before the Interim Joint Committee on Appropriations and Revenue.
Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie wants to block unauthorized U.S. military action in Egypt. The Lewis County Republican says unilateral intervention in foreign wars should not be allowed without congressional approval.
Egypt's been led by five different men in the past 2.5 years, and only one of them democratically elected. I would say this is not a stable environment, and so my constituents have concerns that we don't escalate military activity in the region.
Massie is proposing an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Act that would require a congressional vote before taxpayers' funds are used for military or paramilitary purposes in Egypt.
And efforts are underway in Berea to expand the market for locally grown foods. KPR's Stu Johnson has that story.
Well over half of Berea residents surveyed would like to see more locally grown foods. The food assessment was led by a group called Berea Life, which stands for Locally Integrated Food Economy. Still, the Community Farm Alliance's Kenny Madden says most folks won't limit their diets to just locally grown foods.
It is difficult to have a complete local food system where all your food is coming from locally, partly because things are seasonal, and then you have things like bananas that you just can't grow in Kentucky.
Madden admits locally grown food is more expensive and takes effort to track down, but he says it offers better nutritional value, reduced transportation costs, and it boosts the local economy. A community food forum is scheduled this Thursday evening at Berea Baptist Church. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
And finally, it appears gains are being made in reducing the number of old tires dumped along Kentucky roadways. Kentucky counties can apply for $3,000 in waste tire recycling and removal grants. The grants are administered through the Kentucky Division of Waste Management. Recycling and Local Assistance Manager Gary Logsdon says the goal is to find a market for these worn-out tires.
As of right now, waste tires are not, have no value. They do not. They're negative value. It costs to dispose of them. It costs to reuse them, yes. But the goal would be in the future that they would have a value.
Logsdon says waste tires are used as fuel and in highway pavement. Much of the state grant money goes to support county waste tire amnesty programs. That's where local residents can turn in waste tires and county governments dispose of them properly. Now taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including Estill, Clark, and Robertson counties. Tonight, partly cloudy with areas of valley fog developing after midnight with lows around 58. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs near 82 degrees. And for your Wednesday, cloudy with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon with highs of around 80. Chance of rain is 60%. Currently in Ashland, it's 80 degrees, Flemingsburg 77, Winchester 78, Lexington 80, Inez 78, and in Moorhead, it is currently 77 degrees.
It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Fiber Arts Magazine describes the foundation of art to be a knowledge of material and technique, and a wish to communicate something visually. That's the intent of a current exhibition of art at Moorhead State University. Here is MSPR's Paul Hitchcock.
This is Joanne Weiss's The Mountaintop. Joanne is a textile artist from Louisville, And this piece refers to mountaintop removal. She has hand stitching in here.
Jennifer Rice, assistant professor of art and director of the Clay Young Art Gallery at Morehead State University, describing one of the artworks on display for an exhibit entitled Seven Stitch, Contemporary Textile Art from Kentucky and Surrounding States. The exhibit features a broad range of techniques using textiles and other media, including sculpture, embroidery, screen printing, embellishments, and encaustic painting. Jennifer Rice says the exhibit is an amazing collection of contemporary textile art.
Its intention was to be as inclusive as possible, represent textile artwork that's being made in Kentucky, and then all of the contiguous states.
Showcasing many interpretations of two- and three-dimensional textile art, Rice says there is a wide variety in the show.
We do have art to wear. We do have art quilts. We have felt sculpture, textile and mixed media sculpture. We have pieces that are made with encaustic and fabric, and encaustic is a way of painting with wax.
Society and culture have dictated the interest in textile art, especially with millennials. Contemporary crafts such as glass, ceramics, and textiles have made a comeback in the arts community, and Jennifer Rice says working with textiles can be very challenging.
When you are hand-stitching a large piece, it can be challenging to kind of wrangle that kind of material because it's a little different than doing a large painting where you're just working on the surface, but when you're doing textile work, it is much more like working on a sculpture.
The limitations to using textiles as an art form is determined only by the artist's own limits and creativity. The wide variety of applications textile art offers is exciting.
I think that artists are discovering that there's a lot of potential in this media with working in fibers and textiles. I can speak for myself as an artist. I was trained as a printmaker and someone who focused on drawing, but I love working in textiles because it's tactile. It is sort of this in-between space of being sculptural and being two-dimensional. It's also this in-between space of being made out of something that could be functional. It raises a lot of just general issues about art.
Jennifer Rice, assistant professor of art and director of the Claypool Young Art Gallery at Morehead State University. On display now through August 30th is Seven Stitch, contemporary textile art from Kentucky and surrounding states. Viewing hours are Mondays through Fridays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is no charge for admission, and the community is invited to attend. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Paul Hitchcock.
It is 4:47, all things considered, from NPR at 5 o'clock, and sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Morehead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
The Reds start a series in San Diego tonight as their West Coast tour continues, and local pro college and high school football teams gear up for the 2013 season. I'm Caleb Noe, and this is your Mountain Edition Sportscast. The Cincinnati Reds visit the Padres this evening. Here's MSPR's Mike Williams.
The Reds have won four out of their last eight games while on the West Coast, and tonight they'll look to go above 500. As they continue their current road trip out west for a three-game series with San Diego. 10-4 Mike Leake is scheduled to get the start for the Big Red Machine, as Sean O'Sullivan will get the nod for the Padres. Tonight's first pitch from Petco Park is scheduled for 10:10 this evening. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Mike Williams reporting.
There are no midday Major League games today, but the Lexington Legends open up a week-long road trip tonight at 7:05 with the first of a three-game series in Kannapolis, North Carolina. The homestanding Intimidators will feature 4-10 Jefferson Olacio on the mound. The Legends haven't yet named a starter. After splitting a six-game series this past weekend with the West Virginia Power, the Legends still hold first place in the South Atlantic Southern Division. That's at 1.5 games over second-place Charleston. Six-time Pro Bowl quarterback Donovan McNabb officially announced his retirement today. He did so in Philadelphia, where he spent the majority of his career. Although McNabb will have his number 5 retired this fall and become the newest member of the franchise's Hall of Fame, he still made an apology to the city of brotherly love. Technical difficulties on that one, but he apologized to the city for not bringing them a Super Bowl, which was his goal coming into the NFL. In 11 seasons with the Eagles, McNabb led the team to the playoffs 8 times, including 5 NFC East titles, 5 NFC Championship games, and 1 Super Bowl loss. Marvin Lewis is excited about how his first few practices with his young football team went over the weekend, and he remains optimistic about A.J. Green's sore knee. Lewis says a few days of treatment and the 2-time Pro Bowler should be ready to go.
He's got a knee bruise, and he's got some also kind of both internal bruise type situation working, which is pretty mild, but also a little external bruise from where he fell on the awkward fall on his knee.
Green fell on his knee Thursday while chasing a deep ball out of bounds. Bengals officials say the play was similar to the play that injured Green his rookie season when he hyperextended his knee against the Ravens. Card Nation received a pretty strong indication that their stud quarterback will go pro after this season. Louisville's junior quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is said to have taken out a $10 million insurance policy on himself in case of injury. Typically, players of his caliber do so knowing that they'll likely sign a huge NFL contract within the next year. And more news for Cards fans, Bridgewater confirmed the possibility of former Auburn and Arkansas State running back Michael Dyer joining the squad. Bridgewater said the program would welcome him in. 1 week before the Morehead State football team kicks off fall camp, coaches and players are already getting prepared. Fifth-year senior defensive end Aaron Meadows says he's excited for the challenges of his fall camp with the Eagles.
Fall camp is going to be one of the hardest, most exhilarating 2 weeks of my life, probably. I'm really excited for what the coaches have in store for us. There's a lot of things that are going to be familiar to us, and there's going to be a lot of things that are changing.
The Eagles are adjusting to a new coaching staff and still in search of a new quarterback after the graduation of Zach Lewis. Even though his team doesn't have a clear-cut favorite for its starting quarterback job, Rowan County's football coach isn't worried. Kyle Singleton says he'll make the most of whatever situation develops at that position.
I would like to come into the first game and saying, you know, this is our number one and this is who we're going with and, you know, this is what we're going to build our team around. But, you know, if that situation doesn't arise, you know, we're going to have to just play it as we go and, you know, see if we can, you know, put some different guys in situations to where they can operate and get the offense moving.
Senior Stephen Jones, junior Devin Helvey, and freshman Spencer Price are all dueling to be the Vikings' number one quarterback. Last year's starter junior, Justin Graham, decided not to return to the team this summer. MSU Eagles head volleyball coach Jamie Gordon is excited to get his team's 2013 season underway. The Eagles will open the season with a brutal non-conference schedule, but he believes the non-conference slate can mold his team for conference play.
At Cincinnati and play Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Butler, all three very competitive, very strong programs. Different styles, which I think is important for us. We like to try and face some different offensive systems, defensive systems, so that it prepares us for a good balanced OVC schedule. And it's also a lot of fun for our team to get in there and mix it up with some of the best teams in the country.
The Eagles are returning some key players from last year's OVC Tournament runners-up squad. Aaron Bohannon, Leslie Shielhaas, Lindsey Roth, and junior Laura McDermott will provide the leadership for the 2013 campaign. Noting that he had been kicked out of just about every go-kart track in Indianapolis as a kid, South Bend native Ryan Newman stood proud in victory lane after winning the Brickyard 400 yesterday. The victory ended his 49-race winless drought. And we may see Usain Bolt back on the track sooner than later. Mo Farah of Britain has challenged Bolt to a mid-distance charity race. Bolt holds multiple world records for short-distance events, and Farah won the Olympic 5K and 10K races last year. Bolt responded to the challenge of a longer run than he's used to, saying, "It's going to be hard, but for me it's charity, so it's just all about fun and enjoyment." And that wraps up today's Sports Report on Mountain Edition. I'm Caleb Noe. Have a good day.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single-game tickets for football. Single-event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single-game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Investors took a step back ahead of several events later this week that could set the tone for the rest of the summer. Despite news early Monday of corporate mergers totaling $46 billion, there was still hesitancy on the part of investors to increase their exposure to stocks ahead of a meeting of the Federal Reserve policymakers later this week. Also, the European Central Bank and Bank of England meet this week as well. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow showing a modest loss of 36.86 at 15,521.97. The S&P 500 was down 6.32 at 1685.33, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 14.02 at 3599.14. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 20-9 negative, and gold was down 0.25% today, and oil was down 0.38%. And as mentioned, there's a lot of economic goings on this week, and of course a number of economic reports coming out, and probably the most important of which would be the U.S. government non-farm payrolls report coming out this Friday. And as mentioned, mergers big in the news today, as Canadian retailer Hudson Bay bought iconic retailer Saks in a deal worth $2.9 billion. Hudson's Bay owns rival luxury retailer Lord & Taylor. Omnicom Group and Publicis Group announced a $35.1 billion deal to form the world's largest advertising agency, and the news also lifted shares of rival advertising agent Interpublic Group of Companies. U.S. over-the-counter drug maker Perrigo announced an $8.6 billion deal for Irish drug maker Elan in a cash-and-stock deal that pays about a 26% premium for Elan's shareholders. The Irish company was at the center of an insider trading scandal involving a former employee of embattled hedge fund SAC Capital. And in earnings news, mall operator Simon Property and casino owner Wynn Resorts both reported improved quarterly earnings, although Wynn fell short of forecasts while Simon beat estimates. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 79 cents at 86, CSX down 3 cents at 24.65, AEP up 23 cents at 46.70, AK Steel down 9 cents at 3.52, Marathon Petroleum up 32 cents at 72.23, and Community Trust Bank was down 47 cents to finish at 40.24. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the Morehead State Public Radio listening area, including the cities of Paris, Vanceburg, and Sandy Hook. Tonight, partly cloudy with areas of fog developing after midnight with lows of around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs near 82. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows of around 60. The chance of rain is 50%. Wednesday, cloudy with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Highs of around 80 degrees, chance of rain is 60%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms late with lows in the mid-60s. Chance of rain, 60%. Thursday, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs of around 80. Thursday night, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy with highs in the lower 80s, and Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. Currently in Ashland, it's 80 degrees, Flemingsburg, 77 degrees, Winchester, 78 degrees, Lexington, 80 degrees, Inez, 78 degrees, and in Moorhead, it is 77 degrees.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Mike Williams, Chase Johnson, Joshua Grandison, Sam Steyer, Paul Hitchcock, Caleb Noe, and Asa Hosada. From Kentucky Public Radio, Stu Johnson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.